This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Board the Pod!
All right, welcome back to the newest episode of What the Puck. This is going to be a solo effort here, as Brandon is unfortunately unavailable, though you probably already figured that one out since your eardrums were blown out the second my voice cut in. Last week I missed recording because I was on my honeymoon, and I'm okay with that. I have no problems with missing that week. Well done to Brandon, though, for a great solo show. Well done, buddy. It was fantastic to listen to. Now, we were supposed to record a show on Wednesday night, but my car broke down, which, again, was fantastic. So, yeah, the reason for another solo show is my car's fault. And I'm sticking to that. But it's okay, because now I know what sound my car makes when it needs a new alternator. I don't know what an alternator is, but I have a new one, and my car works. So we're all good. Either way, I'm here to talk a little bit about the Caps, probably ramble, be a bit awkward, and catch up with Hershey, South Carolina, and we will go around the NHL in just a little bit. So, where shall we begin? Let's catch up real quick on the Caps. Now, since I left, which was the night we recorded, actually technically it was the morning after, back on the 24th is the last time that Brandon and I recorded a show together. Now, I know he caught you guys up last week, but we'll go back real quick. The Caps defeated Montreal back on the 24th. They beat the Rangers on the 26th. And then again, why not, on the 28th. Now, they had an unfortunate loss to Carolina. We'll talk over that one. And then they're able to come out and defeat Pittsburgh as well as St. Louis. And then they lost last night to some team and some guy named Phillip. But aside from that, the Caps have been on a roll, and not only have they clinched their spot to fight for Lord Stanley's Cup, but they have also clinched the Metro Division for a stupid name. Don't even get me started. It's still the dumbest name. They have clinched the Metro Division for the third straight year. So congratulations to them. Not the end game, but the fact that at the beginning of the season, this team was not supposed to win this division. That other team, which we shall not mention, they not only, they went on and won the cup. You thought they'd be the best team. No one really gave New Jersey a lot of credit. People like Rangers might be okay. Columbus was certainly on fire. They were getting a lot of talk in the beginning of the season. Philly's okay. So there's a lot of thought as to whether the Islanders are certainly getting some credit. So there's a lot of talk as to whether the Capitals were were they going to make the playoffs? They likely were going to make the playoffs. They probably weren't going to win the division. They probably were going to end up second or third, maybe fighting for that wild card spot. But they've won it. With one game to go in the regular season, they're 5 points up on Pittsburgh. Their goal differential could be a little bit better when we were looking at the standings. But the fact that they will come out of this season with 48 wins, still an impressive feat. Especially for this team that, when you look at the guys that they lost in the offseason, Carl Alsner, and I know Brandon doesn't like this gentleman, but Kevin Shattenkirk, on paper, very good player. All right? You lose a guy like Alsner, you lose a guy like Shattenkirk. I know Brandon likes Daniel Winnick. Personally, I think he just likes his wife more, but that's besides the point. You lose a lot of these guys that Marcus Johansson, guys who contributed significantly to this team, and you lose all these guys. You bring in a couple of young guys like Christian Juice and Madison Bowie eventually. You bring in a guy like Alex Chiasson and Devontae Smith-Pelly, you're looking at this roster going, all right, well, their top six, maybe top seven or eight guys are pretty good, maybe nine guys. Defense, we'll see. They got one of the best goaltenders in the world in Braden Holtby. And you still are not really expecting this team to be a division-winning team. But lo and behold, they come out again. They're able to come away not only getting back into the playoffs, which, we all kind of thought was going to happen, but not being able to take the division and not necessarily down to the wire, a little close here and there, but be able to come out currently 5 points ahead if they win the next game, 5 to 7 points ahead of the closest next team in Pittsburgh is an impressive thing. So I definitely think this team deserves a lot of credit. And I like that we're not seeing a lot of talk about these guys, not really, from the big markets or the big publications, NHL.com and a lot of the big newspapers and store, online internet places, whatever. See, this is part where I'm probably going to ramble. They are all talking about the Caps in the past. Everyone's saying, oh, they're going to win the Sports Illustrated, winning the Cup, Capitals, and insert Western Conference team here. and it never happened. So the fact that no one's really talking about them, you know, it doesn't really make a difference one way or the other in terms of how they're actually going to do. But I do feel like to some extent it does pull back, or it does ease up the pressure on the players. They're not sitting there because they read the papers too. As much as they want to say they don't pay attention to it, and they may not quote unquote pay attention to it, but they hear it. They definitely hear these things. They definitely see them, if not for only a snippet. They see the title of an article. They, you know, they're scrolling through their Twitter feed and they catch a little something talking about them. There's definitely the thought in the back of their minds going, geez, we got a lot to live up to. I don't think that's necessarily the case this go-around, which may or may not help them in the long run. Now, the biggest thing in terms of winning in the playoffs is not only having your goalie playing their best, but having your team playing its best hockey at the right time. And what we're seeing, and I'm going to go ahead and ignore that game against Nashville, and the Carolina game I think was a bit of a fluke, but I do think that this team is playing some very good hockey right now. The game in Pittsburgh is a bit of a tough one. I know everyone wants to give the Capitals a lot of credit, and they certainly deserve it. I'm a little bit more skeptical, I guess, because I felt like they should have certainly been playing better in that game. I think that if it wasn't for the just amazing play, and that word probably isn't even strong enough to talk about it, Philip Grubauer in that game, I think they definitely do not come away with a win there. The fact that he was able to limit Pittsburgh to one goal with the amount of opportunities and quality opportunities that the Penguins had in that game was fantastic. And if you'd asked me after that game, I would have been like, yep, I'm going with Philip Grubauer as my starting goaltender come first game in the playoffs, whenever that may be. God, is that going to be next week? Scary. But yeah, I feel like Grubauer definitely should be in the conversation for starting that first game. Now, the game against Nashville, kind of tough to say as to whether he should be starting now. I don't think that game was necessarily his fault. But you look at that game and you go, we'll see. So we'll see what happens with Holtby against the Devils on Saturday. A game that I will be attending for my first game this year. I used to go to plenty of games, and then, you know, life gets in the way and it's much harder to get out of work and things like that. And so I'm going to my very first game this season, and it's the last one of the season. And if you've listened to this podcast before, if you listened last year and years past, first, thank you for putting up with us for that long and continuing to. But also, you know that I am the kiss of death in the playoffs, and that lifetime I am something like 1-4 or 1-5 in the playoffs. So I will stay as far away from Capital One Arena as I can during the playoffs. Do not you worry, or however that goes. So that's fantastic. So, if you look at how this team has been playing going back a little bit, they've been on a roll. Prior to the game against Nashville, they had won 7 of their last 8, so 7 of their last 9. So they're definitely doing well right now. They're going to go up against a Devils team that is fighting to get out of that wild card spot into a while they have clinched the playoffs, you know, they're certainly trying to jump ahead of Columbus or Pittsburgh here. Because if New Jersey wins their last game, Columbus and Pittsburgh lose their last game, though I don't know if they're playing one another. So that would kind of, who is Pittsburgh playing in their last game of the regular season? Let's check that out as I continue to ramble here. They're playing Ottawa, so that's interesting. And let's see who New Jersey's going to be playing. I probably should have done a little bit of research before I actually hit the record button. Go me. Oh, they're playing us. I'm stupid because I just talked about that. I'm dumb. Anyways. If New Jersey wins and Pittsburgh and Columbus both lose, New Jersey jumps over them into the second spot in the Metropolitan, and the Capitals will end up playing the Columbus Blue Jackets, I believe. No, that's incorrect, because if Philly wins, oh God, this is so confusing. If Philly wins as well, then Philly jumps ahead of Columbus and ties Pittsburgh, and I don't know what the tiebreaker is there. So yeah, someone else can figure that out. Let me know. You can go ahead and tweet to me at WTP Coach Dan and let me know what that means, because I'm tired and it's 10 o'clock on a Friday. Fantastic. Anyways, so my point in all of this randomness is that it's very much up in the air as to who the Capitals could play in the first round. It very well could be New Jersey or Philadelphia. I think they're playing Philadelphia right. No, sorry, they're playing New Jersey right now. It could be New Jersey, it could be Philly, it could be Columbus, it could be Pittsburgh. Florida is at 92 points. They still have 2 games left to play, which means they can get a total of 96. So I guess technically the Caps won't end up playing the Panthers, but the Panthers could make the playoffs. That's interesting. I did not expect that. And for some reason, the NHL website doesn't state which teams are actually eliminated from the playoffs at this point, so that's weird. That would have been nice to know. But Florida could also make it in. So yeah, these playoffs right now are getting pretty crazy in the Eastern Conference, and we will see. We will know after, I guess, Saturday being tomorrow, or if this ever gets up at some point today, who the Capitals will be playing next week. So that will be fun to keep an eye on. And if it's Pittsburgh, bloody hell, here we go again, if it ends up being them. Now, I brought up Philip Grubauer before. I think it's necessary to go over him again because this dude has been on fire. And I think if anything, and I know Ryan Drury is going to be upset about this, but I think the conversation, if Grubauer ends up starting in the playoffs, conversation needs to be had as to who is the starting goaltender next season for the Washington Capitals. No matter necessary, I guess it kind of matters what happens in the playoffs. If Grubauer ends up being the starter, plays poorly, Holtby comes in and actually can win them a bunch of games in the playoffs, then I think we already know the answer to that question. But if Grubauer starts or Grubauer ends up being the better goalie in the playoffs, then I think there is a definite and realistic question this offseason as to who the starting goaltender for the Washington Capitals is going to be come early October next year. Because with Grubauer scheduled to, be a restricted free agent, then I think the conversation definitely should be there as to which guy the Capitals are going to hang on to. Now, the easy move is to merely move out Grubauer by trading him. Yes, restricted free agent. To move him in the offseason, and given his play at the end of the season here, I definitely think that some team is going to be willing to take a chance on him, be it by signing him to an offer sheet and seeing if the Capitals will match. Or, I guess at that point, you could do a sign and trade kind of thing where the Caps match and then trade him to that team or another team. Or do the Capitals trade him off and just get some prospects or picks or an NHL player at the moment, a roster player for this team. But if Grubauer plays as well as he can, you know, there's a definite conversation that's going to happen as to whether the Capitals may look at trading Braden Holtby. And it's not, and I know Ryan Drury just like threw something in the air, flipped over a table. He's so mad at me right now. But if Grubauer can keep it up, now given this is a small sample size as to Grubauer's skill set, but knowing that you have Samsonov coming over from Russia, you know, nothing's necessarily official yet, but it definitely seems like this kid's going to be coming over and he's supposed to be the next big thing in terms of goaltending. At some point, this team is going to move on from Braden Holtby, whether it's this offseason or in the next couple of offseasons, be it a year or two later. I do think that his time in Washington is probably no more than three seasons from now. That would be my estimated guess, especially with the salary cap being a realistic problem going forward. Now, there's talk about how much it may go up, and the team's going to be needing to re-sign John Carlson. I know Brian McClellan was talking today and being a little bit, I don't want to say morbid, that's not a nice word, but he's a bit skeptical as to what may happen. You know, he's saying, well, if we're going to have to see what our numbers are, see what we think he should get, what he thinks he should get, and we'll go from there. You know, I don't know. I know I said before I could see them going back in for Erik Karlsson. I don't think that may be the case necessarily after I read a piece about him where he was talking about how he is going to look to make as much money as he can after his I believe he has one more year on his deal after this season, and then he's going to be looking to make a good amount of money in his next contract. I don't think the Capitals are necessarily going to be able to afford it, and I don't see them breaking the bank necessarily to bring him in unless they can sign him to a new deal that is realistic in terms of what their cap space is going to be. So I do see the team making a hard push to re-sign John Carlson. McClellan also mentioned that he may want to re-sign Michael Kempney, which I think he's been very good for this team. I definitely think they may look at keeping him around next season. I don't know about Yerbeck at this point. I wouldn't necessarily be surprised if they decide to let him go. Both of them are scheduled to be unrestricted free agents come, what is it, July 1st? So I would not be surprised there. The team will need to re-sign Madison Bowie to a new deal. I think that that'll be interesting in terms of what he gets, considering his play this season has not been one that you would say is good enough to be a consistent starter in the NHL. He's had sometimes where he looks really good and sometimes where he definitely looks like the rookie that he is. And I don't think he should be a guy that's in your top six going into the playoffs for this season. I do think that the kid has a future in the NHL. It's just not right now. So it'll be interesting what they decide to give him. You got to re-sign Travis Boyd. I think Devontae Smith-Pelly gives a chance to come back, but hopefully it's a smaller cap hit. They got the problems with Brooks Orpik that we've been talking about all season. So going back, I do think that there is a definite need for a conversation regarding Braden Holtby and Philip Grubauer. Should Grubauer continue his stellar play and actually get the start in the playoffs? Now, it's going to be hard to trade Braden Holtby. You're not going to have the opportunity at making a move like the Penguins did with Marc-Andre Fleury, where you make a trade that not only benefits Vegas, but also gets them to take your big salary cap in Fleury off of your hands. But if Grubauer is the guy, now given he's only 2 years younger than Holtby, but if Grubauer is the guy and you decide to move out from Holtby, that is $6.1 million off of your salary cap. That some of that is going to go to Grubauer, but that gives you a lot more money to be able to make moves with to re-sign Carlson and others, as well as if you find a way to get out from under the Brooks Orpik contract. Now, Orpik only has one more deal, so you only really have to listen to me talk about one more year in his deal. So you really only have to listen to me talk about Orpik for like one more season if they keep him around. Although, watch, McClellan will sign him to a new deal, and I'll have to, you know, say mean things about him on Twitter, because that's pretty much all I can do about that at this point. But I think this offseason is going to be very interesting. There's not much to talk about in terms of the playoffs right now because we just don't know who they're going to play. There's other things we talk about. The Caps did recall Madison Bowie and Travis Boyd. They're both going to get some playing time towards the end of the season because there's, you know, with the Caps clinching not only the playoffs but the division, there's no real need to jockey for a better position. You're not going to catch Tampa Bay, who's definitely going to win the East, given they have 110 points. So you only got one game left. Best the Caps can get is 105, so that's definitely not going to happen. Tampa can get as best as 114. Good God. They're very good. Anyways, so it's gonna be interesting to see what happens in that game against New Jersey and how much the Caps really push for it. I know New Jersey is going to be pushing hard because they want to improve their chances. Instead of going up against the Capitals, I'm sure they wouldn't mind seeing Pittsburgh or Columbus instead. In that, although I don't know if anyone really wants to see Pittsburgh like ever in the playoffs, but I do think that the Capitals will have an opportunity to, you know, not play the spoiler because that's usually the team that's not in the playoffs. But I do hope since this is my only game I'm going to that they're going to play well and come out and play hard. We need to talk about Ovechkin for a little bit. He needs 3 goals. He needs a hat trick basically in the game against New Jersey to get 50 for the season, which would be amazing to watch, not only because I'm there, but to see that he can do it again and get to 50 goals would just be phenomenal. It's just another season. It's another opportunity for this guy who I remember, you know, I was at that first game where he played against Columbus and he got his 2 goals. I was there with my sister. We were watching and it was amazing. To have this kid, I remember when he was drafted, I sat there watching, I want to say it was on ESPN. I don't know if that's correct, but I remember watching him get drafted and going, or I remember, I can't remember how I found out, but I remember coming home one day, it's probably back in 2004, and I turn on my computer and I see, because this is before I had a smartphone, I want to say I'm fairly confident in that. I remember I turn on my computer and I go online and I see it on the Caps website that they won the lottery and had the chance to pick first. And I remember my first reaction was, nuh-uh. There's no way. Because you've been reading about this kid, Ovechkin, who everyone was talking about. There was a story the year prior about Florida who tried to pick him based on the technicality that he was only 2 days younger. His birthday was 2 days past the deadline to be eligible for that season's draft. And so they use their 7th round pick, which usually is going to be on the guy who's probably not going to make your roster anyways, unless you have a really, really good scouting department. So it's not really a waste to see if you can try and pick this kid. It ended up being that the NHL was like, nice try, no, and you've wasted your pick. But that's really not the end of the world because you were able to, you know, you tried to pull a fast one and maybe had a shot at it. But the Capitals being given the opportunity after the fire sale and everything that happened with Peter Bondra being traded away and all the fans were just like, what the hell is going on? And no one recognized that roster at the end of that season. For them to have the opportunity to go out and select someone that everyone was talking about was going to be number one, that he was going to be a Hall of Fame, phenomenal player, that he hits anything that moves, scores as many goals as he wants, and is just a ridiculous once-in-a-lifetime type player. To know that that guy was coming to DC was amazing. So seeing him drafted, not that it was ever any doubt, seeing all the things he did that first season, the goal on his back in Arizona, which was probably the most amazing thing, one of the most amazing goals. He's done so many more throughout his season, but I feel like that one will be the one that everyone will remember in terms of his top goal, just in the ridiculousness of it throughout the rest of his career. So that was amazing. And then on top of that, in the win over Pittsburgh, he played in his 1,000th game, all of them being for the Washington Capitals, which is amazing for someone. You know, players can get to that many games before, but to play them all with one team is amazing. So for that to have happened, again, you know, everyone's already been saying, I'm sure, and he's not going to hear this, but congratulations to Ovechkin on the fact that he's played 1,000 games in the NHL. It really kind of feels like he just got drafted or he just started playing in the NHL. And how the hell has this many years gone by? So that is pretty amazing. The team had a nice celebration for him on Thursday's game against Nashville, since that was the first one back at home on his 1,000th game. He got a Tiffany crystal, which I thought was, it's a thing. I don't really know what that is, but I'm sure it's very fancy, and I'm sure he was very not excited to get that. He got a silver stick, which I thought was quite nice, but I'm sure the most exciting thing for him was that his teammates got him a trip for two to Barcelona to see Lionel Messi and FC Barcelona play. So that is probably pretty cool. I think I read he's going to be in the presidential suite for that, or I heard about that, so that is pretty awesome. I have to be honest, I'm not a Barcelona fan necessarily. I do, have a lot of respect and admiration for Lionel Messi, being a big fan of European football and soccer, but that is pretty cool. I don't know what the presidential suite looks like in Camp Nou, so your guess is as good as mine, but I'm sure it's going to be nice and fancy, and he'll probably get to meet Messi afterwards, and hopefully the guy's playing when he gets there, because that would be a huge bummer if that ended up not being the case. Now, there were some other things going on in Caps world. Shane Gersick, I don't know how to say his name, but I'm probably going to have to learn it soon because the kids look pretty good considering the jump that he had to make to get into the NHL this season. I like what I see from the kid, and I think he's going to have the opportunity to play on this team, not only potentially in the playoffs, but next season. This might be a pretty good find by the Capitals, and in terms of I think he was a draft pick. I can't remember when I talked about last time we were on the show. But kids look good. I really like what I've seen from him, given it's fairly early in his career, but it looks like the Caps may have a good player going forward. And then the Caps also made some moves, signing forward Brian Pinho. That's got a silly last name. To a 2-year entry-level deal. Kid's been practicing with the team. I don't think he's going to play. I hope he didn't play in the game the other night, because then I sound like an idiot. I don't believe he played. It doesn't sound like he'll get a game. But that is pretty cool for him. He was their 6th-round pick back in 2013. He actually just finished his senior season at Providence College, or if you're from that area, it's Providence College. And so the kid's definitely got a lot of talent, or, you know, if he's going to be able to get that signed by the Capitals. So we will see what happens to him going forward. The Caps, we talked before about the fact, I know I've talked with Ryan Drury off air on Twitter about the fact that Capitals don't have a ton of guys in the minors and prospects that are offensive minded. So it's nice to see that they're making a move to bring a couple of those guys in. But I fully expect the draft this offseason for the Capitals to be looking at potentially drafting a bit more forwards. I mean, you look at the prospects that they have right now, and you're definitely looking at, outside of Samsonov in the goaltending department, you're definitely looking at a bunch of these young guys like Lucas Johansson or Johansson or Johansson or however you say his name. There's a bunch of other defensemen that they've got that, Sengenthaler, Tyler Lewington. I know I'm forgetting somebody. What's it? Connor Hobbs certainly has an opportunity for these guys to come in and potentially make some moves and, make a name for themselves defensive-wise. So I think the forward ranks definitely could use a draft or two to replenish their young guys, because the guys that are their big names right now aren't getting any younger. Ovechkin's 32, Backstrom's 30, TJ Oshie's 31, and I'm sure all of them got a bunch more years left, but guys like Jay Beagle, who are really important, maybe not stars, but, loved in Washington and definitely well-known, very important players for this team, are, you know, Beagle's 32, so it's not like these guys are going to be getting younger anytime soon, as I stated. So it's definitely good to see, or will be good to see, the Capitals look to start replacing some of these older guys in the near future, given you can't necessarily replace a guy like Ovechkin or Backstrom or Oshie, but you can certainly try by drafting someone that may end up being almost as good, if not as good, as some of, maybe not Ovechkin or Backstrom, but as, you know, as close to it as they can. So, yeah, that's pretty much all we've got in Caps world right now. Now, let's, real quick, let's check in with Hershey and South Carolina. I know we normally have a whole segment and music and things, but that takes longer. So we're just going to go ahead and go down on the farm, talk about the Bears and the Stingrays. We'll start in Hershey, where over the past 2 weeks, Hershey went 2-4 with wins over Hartford and Laval. I still don't know how to say that. Ryan, can you let me know? I got no idea. The Bears, who are unfortunately eliminated from the Calder Cup playoffs, are currently 7th. That's not going to help. In the Atlantic Division with 67 points and a record of 29-34-9. Yeah, there's that. That's doing well. Bears will be back at it on Saturday and Sunday. Both of those games being in Charlotte as they look to wrap up their season shortly. One that they hopefully will forget quickly. And I have been to a Bears game forever. And again, I'm not going to have a chance probably to go to a game. I have to wait till next season. Let's head on down to South Carolina, where the Kelly Cup playoff bound Stingrays went 4-2 with wins over Orlando, Kalamazoo, and Jacksonville. They're currently 2nd in the South Division with 98 points and a record of 45-16-8. Now, they will wrap up their regular season with 3 upcoming games. I wrote this on Wednesday thinking we were going to record, and that didn't happen. So they had a game on Thursday, and they have a game tonight, Friday, in Greenville. It's probably over by now since it's 10:20. And then they actually play Saturday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Orlando. So hopefully they've had a couple of wins. I haven't actually checked. That's my bad. They've been doing pretty well as they gear up for a run at the Kelly Cup. But that's what's going on down on the farm. Now let's go around the NHL, where we will start. Look how fast that was. We're going to start in Vancouver, where the Sedin twins announced that they will be retiring at the end of the regular season. I believe they have one game left. Where is Vancouver? Oh, they're way down there in the standings. Yikes. They were drafted back in 1999. That's right. There was a time before 2000. They were drafted back in 99, going 2nd and 3rd overall. Now, Daniel was 2nd. Henrique was 3rd, just in case anyone really cares about that. Maybe it's bragging rights for the brothers. I don't know. They play their entire careers in Vancouver. Daniel currently has 1,038 points in 1,303 games. 391 of those were goals. Henrique, again, this is back on Thursday. Henrique had 1,068 points in 1,327 games, with 828 of those being assists. Now, Henrique won the 2009-10 Hart Trophy, and both of them have won Art Ross trophies. And personally, I think they were robbed. Or was that Calgary? I forget what happened. When did Tampa win? I feel like Boston maybe beat Toronto, but I feel like Vancouver was robbed in the playoffs and should have won the cup. Or maybe that was Calgary that got robbed. I can't remember. Whenever Tampa won, it was BS. I think it was pretty cool that in their last game in Vancouver, in overtime, the Sedin scored. One with the assist, one with the goal to get the win in their very last game at, is it still GM Place? So that's pretty cool. That is definitely a pretty cool thing for them. It sounds like they're going to be hanging out in Vancouver after they retire, which you'd like to see from a lot of players, but I know a lot of guys like to go home. I think that's definitely something we're going to see from Ovechkin, that he's probably going to make his way back to Russia. Not that he's going to retire anytime soon. He's still got, what does he still have? He's still got, come on, website. Ovechkin's got to deal with the Caps for another 3 years after this. I wouldn't be surprised at that point. He'll be, what, 35? I wouldn't be surprised at that point if he signs a 2 or 3 year deal with the team, sticks around for 2 more, and then decides to head back to Russia. Let's go back around the NHL, where Florida's Roberto Luongo, he played in his 1,000th NHL game. Everybody's doing it now. In his 1,000th NHL game back on Thursday, he became the 3rd goalie to do so. So congratulations to him. Other goalie news, Montreal goalie Carey Price became the longest tenured goalie in Canadiens history, passing Jacques Plante by I don't know if I said that right. I probably should know that. By playing in his 557th game. That is a good amount. You gotta wonder how many more he would have played had he not gotten all those injuries in the past. We got a couple of fines to announce. A couple people weren't behaving themselves. Tampa's Steven Stamkos was fined $5,000 for his trip on Toronto's Morgan Riley. St. Louis's Robert Bortuzzo was fined just over $3,000 for a cross-check against Boston's Jordan Suarez. I like that guy's name. He's got a bunch of these. Columbus's Ian Cole was fined $5,000 for a dangerous trip against Vancouver's Brandon Sutter. Aren't all trips kind of dangerous because they're unexpected? So that's a weird name for the NHL to have for that. And finally, Boston's professional douchebag Brad Marchand was fined $5,000 for cross-checking Philly's Andrew McDonald. That's the news from the past 2 weeks in the NHL and a wrap-up of this episode of What the Puck, a solo show. Kind of made it sound like I said Star Wars joke. I don't like Star Wars, really, or I don't like it. I don't care for it, so it's not my intention. But this was a solo show. I thank you for listening and putting up with me if anyone is still listening out there. If you want to talk to me about hockey and other things, you can talk about Arsenal Football Club, DC United, the fact that they suck. We can talk about the Skins. They suck. I don't know if I still want to be a fan of them anymore. I might go follow my dad's team in the Bills. Not that they're much better, but at least they make the playoffs. When they're bad, you're like, okay, at least that makes sense. They should be bad. We can talk about RG3 being back in the league for now. That's an interesting thing I did not see coming, especially with the Ravens, but you never know. Enjoy, Brandon. Enjoy the circus that, not that his fault, but that follows him around. You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. And if you like the show as much, because if you're still listening at this point, you have to have liked the show, why don't you go ahead and check us out on Twitter at WhatThePuckPod. You can also find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. We put all kinds of fun stuff up there about the show, the Capitals, the NHL. Find out when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other things related to What the Puck. So that is pretty much the show this week. Thank you again for listening. I am sorry that Brandon wasn't here to not only blow out your eardrums, but make this a little bit more entertaining, as he is much better at being a host than I am. You know what? I probably should have had a few drinks before I did it, and that probably would have made the show either a lot more entertaining or even worse than it may already be. But otherwise, thank you again for listening. Brandon and I should be back next week, provided some other piece of electronic or his car doesn't do something stupid and have it happen to it. But we will see. And we will see. Well, we won't see you, but you'll hear us next week. And we always say at the end of every show, say it loud, say it proud. Let's hope we can do it for a lot more weeks. Many more weeks or something better in English. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
What the Puck?
What the Puck?
Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.